interrupting the current Neuronapoxcricketism to bring you Behind the Woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting Episode BTWRLM474. You get that, folks? They're just piling these things on. Wars and the rumors of wars, disease, pestilence. How close to the end of history are we, really? I don't even really can't know, but this is really a big head fake if it's not lining up to be one. We have the Neo-Uke War, Rona Fraud, and now I hear, in the last since last week, there's the monkeypox. You monkeys. You humans. You see what I've been telling you about terminology? It's going to be critical. You need to establish yourself, and you understand there's a move afoot to get rid of even the person-in-law. Not the person-in-law like a mother and father-in-law, but the person. They're getting, the cancel culture is taking away the terms that you're going to use to do that. They don't want you to say mother. They don't want you to say father. They don't want you to say son or daughter. They're going to stick you in this humanization condition. Because remember, humans are the cancer on Gaia, and they're going to scratch her off, and they're going to be there to do it. So there's a whole implementation going on about this. They got the rumor of war. They blame it on somebody. Like, they don't take responsibility for any of it themselves. But you have the Uke War now on top of the Rona, and now I hear we have monkeypox. Well, isn't that part of the long-old story, that this whole thing with Rona was actually the experimentation with the monkeypox? And so this story is not changing. In fact, they're running out of narratives. As I've been telling you how you have to address this, I'm rethinking. Okay, they're moving this thing along, but they're running out of real good gas here. Monkeypox can be real hard to identify that you have anything of unless they invent something new that's invisible. Their best shot was the flu. Wrong, fraudulently converted into something that wasn't. But this is just showing you that they're moving along. The agenda's not stopping. What I've been telling you, you're going to have to step up to, or you're going to be the victim of it and to it. As we see right off the bat here, your standard of living is being systematically destroyed. And in some regards, this week, I just keep looking, as I do every week, but it just comes more and more. Things I've been telling you for over a decade, notwithstanding my detractors or criticisms that are not supported or whatever, things that people say, people think I don't have a clue, people think others have more understanding of what's actually underpinning it. What I've been saying is here. It's coming to fruition. Your standard of living is being systematically destroyed. I don't even know really on this if I have to go more. At some point, we may have some contention on what we all think is working to do this. The bottom line is that title. It's what they've been set up on. I told you as soon as I saw the Modernization Acts in 2010 or so, this was our future, and it wasn't going to stop. Here's the point about that. You have to understand, when we're talking about administrative law, we can deal with that administratively. It's not law. You can get the law that it violates to be taken out. When the legislature does the law, it's almost impossible to get the Bar Association, which is actually your judicial branch, to stop that. And they already know to use the breach, it would constitute a breach of the separation of powers. That's a lie. Because they're duty-bound to jealously guard that the executive doesn't cause problems. You're not seeing any of that, hardly. I don't think any of it, actually. Even in the decisions that sound like everyone would cheerlead for, there's problems in how they get there. I just touched a little bit the decision that's yet to come here. They telegraphed out that they're going to go a certain way with an old decision, and yet I told you to be cautious. They're only going through the 14th Amendment. That is the adulteration of this whole place. And so be careful on your analysis on that and what it all does. We're all going to have to know what I've been saying. And I'm saying that in reanalyzing again what I'm doing to inform people, to give them the far view ahead to prepare themselves to have the information they need in hand, like the bag of law, the bag of health, the bag of whatever that's coming against you, have the proof against it. And the more the proof isn't an argument, the proof is they don't have jurisdiction. They don't have the right. And they haven't established the right in law. And when they go to third-party public private partnership, when they go to the private part to implement all this, it's going to become very difficult to assert rights in that regard. And they figured out how to do that through a third party. And I'm really having much more trouble with how the nuance of the argument becomes so focused that I'm having trouble to be able to speak about them generally, actually. And so I don't know how much, in looking at the tightening of the thumbscrews, if you will, it's actually putting you in one of those cages that's the shape of your body, and closing the door and all the needles in you, that's the spikes that puncture you. They're coming after, those spikes are every little aspect of what you need in the world. And that's where they attack you, and you, for the production side, so this is what I see from the production side, when they interfere with the production side, you're not getting it to your house. And we get on to, well, you better then start developing what you can locally. And that's what part of my hopeful, I don't know if the solution, it's part of the answer is start gearing up a lot more, folks. I don't know how to say this, but most Americans didn't understand the exceedingly foolish decisions of our leaders would eventually have a major impact on how they live their lives every day. But there are some of us that did. Many of us literally begged our politicians to stop borrowing and spending trillions upon trillions of dollars that we did not have. But they refused to listen, and many of us literally begged the officials of the Federal Reserve to stop pumping trillions upon trillions of fresh dollars into the financial system. Of course, they wouldn't listen to us, and now our standard of living is steadily being eviscerated, and most of the population seems quite surprised that this is happening. And that's another one of our problems right there. Now, whether or not I agree that we should be begging the Fed or anything, or begging the officials, the point is that this was set up, begging the officials that set us up for the takedown was not the thing to do. So even though I'm referring you to this to read, see an analysis of how this is coming down so that you see what it is that's going on, if you haven't yet, start to prepare in all these subject matter areas, all the party and players are involved in the story that are going to be the future, that it appears they're going to make it very difficult to avoid, to keep a distance of. And as I said, they take away the language. Everyone says, oh, it's just semantics. No, it's not. And you're going to have to learn that at some point when the language is being adulterated, it's like this. I told you already a part of it. And it's not an answer. It's just an observation at this point until we see the actual thing. When they're arguing now, the cancel culture says there's multiple genders or there's no genders and they attach it to legal. That can't happen in law because the word person is neutral. So when they make an issue from the state side, the state has to look at, they're making, in a way, they're making an issue that's not, there's no purview of the state over it. They're genderizing a neutral. And that'll violate your laws. That'll violate, because the person that they speak of in that regard is anyone that's in that status that fulfills that, the purpose of that law. It's not always what people say, oh, it's the subject attitude, the subject status. That's the only way I guess they've figured out in order to say, well, someone in this condition that we have a statutory remedy for, we're just going to deem them to be this placeholder word called person. I know a lot of people that listen to me have read different and they're going to be all up in it, but I'm telling you that's how I don't call myself the person. I go to the status. The law deals with it from that status. And going back to this, it's easy to get off of this, but you're being attacked. There's another recognition here. It's a fairly long article. I will never be able to touch all this stuff. I'm bringing this stuff forward almost every week now just to give you the background of the things that you need. You need to start to understand what's coming on us. Start tying them together. Start tying what they're attacking in you and how that's what you're going to have to fortify in you, not in his argument where you show they don't have an authority to redefine you as guilty until you prove yourself innocent. But that's likely where you're going to go, but you can't say it. You have to prove it, like I've said. In other words, let's say the government wants to purport to be able to regulate a piece of private property that has a patent that you know is there, and they want to start to put encumbrances on that legalistically, like, but you got to go to your patent, and the terms of the contract are, the terms of the disposal are from Congress. That defines it, is those rights given to you are forever, and nowhere in the document was the state to have a remainder interest. That's in your enabling acts or your you know, I think they're enabling acts generally across the country. So if you got to put your lineage of authority together, you're going to have to know where that's at. That's why I went immediately in the RONA to the communicable disease code. Where did they fail? They failed right off the bat. Okay, now you do the failure, you list the failure, and then you list the rest of the consequences that tie into the more complex authority that they have, the authority now. Once they have the ability, once they have the jurisdiction by the first step, then they have authority to do things. When you shut that all down, black and white, not your opinion, you've established a status that's not within their purview. You're essentially not the person. That's how you prove you're not the person. Moving over to this, this will take quite a bit of time, but now here, this new world that they're bringing us in, if you look, as I'm telling you, look underneath what they're pulling it all together. They're pulling the reins as a net, pulling all this into one control. This first paragraph mentioning the Federal Reserve, when you beg your officials at the Federal, you're not begging your officials at the Federal Reserve as well. That's why I'm really hesitant to even point you to some of these places, but they do give us a story to look at, a proof of what's going on. And I'm saying, put your thinking hat on and start to move a different, avoid this condition as best you can. Part of it's going to be not having everything that they want to put on us, and know that what they're saying here is a drawing together of a condition. And I want you to look underneath that condition. In fact, I think it was on Twitter, Gerald Celente asked, what does Finland have to do with the United States relative to coming in with, and then Russia being against it? And I put the word, I just responded, climate change. Gerald Celente doesn't talk with me, so he probably doesn't understand that's sarcastic. The point is, that's a political action, right? It's not about the climate. And the climate, and this is where I sent this specifically to Gerald Celente, was, climate change is about, we've heard it, is the sustainability, which is about the economy. And we get to Agenda 2030, and we get to the, you're going to be in prosperity, which is what? The 1984, the opposite, austerity. I read that all stuff years and years ago. I've read all this to you. This is just the fulfillment of what we're doing. If you haven't seen it before, here's another story that tells you, I'm asking you, take a look at your economy, how you run efficiently in your life. You're going to have to get self-reliant. I don't know how to avoid this. I wish it was different. I don't know how it's really going to affect us, but I think you'd be best to start doing what you can. Just do what you can. In fact, you know, I was yesterday, I think I hurt myself making dirt. I hope it's soil that grows plants. I mean, trying to, this year I put a lot more effort into doing that myself. Don't know what it's going to mean, but if it does come happen, I can always eat what I've done, and I can always hand away what I don't need once, if it doesn't happen. So we don't know here. This is the problem. We're not in that control structure of the things we need in our life. That's why I make a distinction between self-sufficient and self-reliant. We're reliant on something outside of us. Shameful. Insteon looks dead, just like its users' smart homes. Where they're driving this with this direct trust connection to the Fed, how they're going to control the economy. It's a third-party private partnership that you are in a trust obligation for. It's funny, they're going to really hold tight to that. They're going to know what that trust obligation is, but they're not going to recognize any other trusted obligation in the organic establishment, because they're here to destroy it and do it in a way that people don't pay attention. We see right here in the future the third-party problem, where a private company just shuts the door on smart homes, which is where your future is going to be when these public-private partnerships are created by government in order to circumvent very very important constitutional protections and stick you under control. We see the frailty, and this is where you're going to, where I look at this, and I say, this is where the government's going to bring in. They let the market fail, and then they come in with the more stringent connection that is almost impossible to avoid. The smart company, Insteon, has vanished. The entire company seems to abruptly shut down just before the weekend, breaking users' cloud-dependent smart home setups without warning. How about if we just end there and say, don't enter into anything smart. Don't enter into the cloud. Don't get a service. Don't admit you have a computer. Don't admit you have a phone. Get rid of your phone, maybe even better. Get out of the connection to the future they want. There's one way you're going to avoid it. If you're already connected, it's going to be a lot harder. And you see here the third-party connection. When we're talking about your life They said smart homes are connected to this. Where do you think that is ultimately? That's going to be in keeping you controlled by energy and what you do and your social credit. This company disappeared. This company disappears. You have no connection then. So there's a double thing going on here. This is a warning to us. These third parties, this is not the way to go, first of all. Secondly, the government's going to use it to circumvent things. And when the government steps in, it's going to be a failure and another catastrophe that they're fixing. Again, the problem they invent, and then they give you the solution. Forget the reaction. It's coming to the point. You're not reacting. Crickets. They don't have to worry about you. That's what I've been telling you all about. So here's the connection. Your standard of living being destroyed. It's being destroyed because you're actually bringing on these this smart home concept. That's sustainability, folks. So all these words are all the same, end up being climate change. And it's not about the weather. It's about the political climate changing yours and bringing you into future servitude. And they're going to use electronics to do so. And what they have to do is they have to beat down and bring the people into submission. And then you'll ask for these problems. That's the solution that they bring to the, you demand the problem because it's just a little less painful. Besides, you want to let them do it. So here, a smart home company, Insteon, has vanished. I'm looking at this and saying, this is the future of a lot of these things, and this is the future of anything digital, anything cloud-based, and then you consider not so much even this destruction where they disappear. We don't even know. We understand that we have monopolization. Bigger fish eating the little fish, all to bring this on. You have an incremental silent monopolization, which then reduces you down to no remedies. And in fact, that's an interesting thing I didn't put up is a document, interesting document, that monopolization brings on a duty to respond. So if you know these things, then you can start asserting them. I haven't looked at that yet. Didn't have time this week. But here's the thing. You have to start having a better awareness of what's going on to beat the third-party problem here, which the government uses to push you further into that austerity and bring your standard of living down. And a lot of people just take it. And I mean, I'll probably be the worst of it because I jumped a long time ago into austerity, realizing that's where we were going to go. I didn't want to have to try and fight along the way. I just went ahead and reduced my existence and then started to fight from that position. And if I can see the whites of their, if I get to see the whites of their eyes, I know it's bad. So we're starting to potentially see, maybe I get the beady little darkness inside a black spot on their, not quite the whites yet, but it's very, very close here. You're watching how they set up the system to fail, how the government then comes in as the rescue to save everyone. You will ask for, and they will give you what you want. It's the future they want, actually. Moving into now how they move this along and make it even more imperative and more control. It's outside of what you can actually discuss, why it's so important to understand your communicable disease law, why it's to understand to have to look in the rules and see how they circumvented it. I speak specifically to Tennessee, located that. I went immediately to their rules and found how they circumvented the local authority for the federal, which is it's a breach. Again, the government, the judiciary may not look at it because the government, it's the government, but it's a fiction in the Bar Association being your judicial branch that's a usurpation. It's a foreign agent. Domesticated foreign corporation law to be domestic law so they could function. And they're promoters of sustainable development, which we understand is smart, innovation, climate change, Greta, all these things, the COVID, all of this stuff, all of it. Elites plan to plan your health. This is on a story coming on the heels of this pandemic treaty, so-called. That's what their first initiation. It's like, you ask for the high price and you'll get negotiated down. Well, the what they want is a treaty. What the WHO wants, not the Rock Group, the OWL, or even the little people of Whoville. But the World Health Organization is like a car salesman asking for the high dollar and then expecting a negotiation. They're asking for a treaty. They'll get what they can get. Why they got you to capitulate to take their authority. But the elites meet to plan your health. This is cradle to grave stuff as well, but it's on an international level. The role of the Council of Foreign Relations in the document. The article, because of the comprehensive coverage, is important to watch the coverage. I don't necessarily believe they get to the point of the role of the foreign relations in a regard, because they're an influencer and their agent, their change agents are in your country. I don't think they ever talk about that, nor do they, would they talk about something I've talked to you about, how it works in implementing all this. And it's essentially the same. I can now see it's everywhere. It's been, I have been able to see it's everywhere. And the implementation is pretty much the same. They just get a lot of people to capitulate, whether that's ideologically. You don't have to pay anybody. You just get them to believe something. Like I was telling you the story of, save the whales. Long time ago, save the whales was a big deal. I was going to be an oceanographer. Why not? And they are a majestic animal. But we found out that was all politics. That's all just to get your dollars. And then they do these other global political actions with that money. That's another way to do leverage funding in a way. They play on your sentiment. They do a few things to get you to believe that there's something going on, and you commit to it, and you put all your energy to support that, which ends up being to your detriment ultimately when you look at how this all works. But these elites meet to plan your health. This is not even news. But they do reference that Shanghai lockdown, now entering its eighth week, has forced a reckoning among members of the Democratic America's expert class, even if very few are willing to admit it. The liberal media outlets like New York Times, which depicted China's draconian zero COVID strategy as commendable in an early 2021, are now rightly identifying the collateral damage that results when a government prioritizes COVID prevention above all else. I'm not necessarily believing that's true, but because of the subject matter this covers, because I believe the Republicans also helped cause it and continue it, Trump made it happen at warp speed for the United States. COVID zero is a little bit different. The way they say it here, strategy, is a little bit different, but it's showing you the extremities. And this is what's interesting about today's tabs. We're seeing the extremities starting to work. They actually put it in practice. And what that could mean to us, whether or not we anywhere else in the world see some of this, you understand this is the model of the worst, and we look up and we say, well, we don't want that to happen to us. Republicans and the Democrats say we don't want to quite get the people to go there, but they'll accept something less. So we're going to do the hard sell now, but we're going to show that we're reasonable by taking something that's only three quarters as bad. And the people go, okay, instead of saying, how about zero? How about zero strategy? Why? Because you've got zero demonstrable exigence. How about that? How about we go back to American law? And so we're going to have a mind, a fairly firm mind. Yeah, you're going to be considered hard-headed, you know, but that's the way that works, because there's people that want to come and diminish you because you hold to a certain culture? They want to cancel a certain responsibility, a certain principle. Can I even say the word anymore? Yeah, I look at this, what I read on it, I'm really tossed all the time. There's lots of information to watch in this story. I want to pass it on, but some of it I'm not really agreeing with relative to where they're going. It's like people who, like I was just talking, Salente may, or he never talks to me, so I don't know. He never responds. But he may or may not know that climate change is the economy, just what he talks about. But he may not know that's why we're seeing the things in the world, as I would explain here, that ties it all together. The drawstrings of tyranny and control and oppression, more important, and then the defenselessness inside that is being pulled tight now. And it's very slow, so it's hard to name the time. Primer, moving from the health plan the elites want, totally have no basis. See, if you go to the communicable disease law, there's no basis for that. But we're already getting in the mindset to adopt a foreign rule. And it would be absolutely a breach of the separation of powers in the United States government. Why, I believe, not I believe is the only thing, but the International Health Regulation of 2005 has the United States reservation. Interestingly, another tab will be coming. Iran had a reservation similarly, that you're not going to tell us what to do in health matters, but we'll listen to you as a guidance. And that might be fair enough if they were guidance without alternative reason, ulterior motive like profit, brokering. I've talked about all this before with the WHO. You say it. Go ahead. And then I'll get back to the World Health Organization. whose constitution defines health as a state of physical, mental, and social well-being, not merely the absence of disease or infirmity, has recently orchestrated a remarkable reversal of in human rights, poverty reduction, education, and physical, mental, and social health indices in the name of responding to COVID-19 pandemic. I don't know about the gentleman writing it, but it's not actually a remarkable reversal. Everything that's set up to do is to control. When people see this, that what they do is for control purposes, they're looking at the subject matter areas that the WHO intends through its agreed that the governments allow them to do. They want to control your physical, mental, and social well-being through cancel culture and what is good for Gaia. When you understand to read this the way it is, it's not a remarkable reversal. It's the implementation of what they told you they were going to do in the future. Notice mental is there, and I've told you for a long time, mental is going to be the hardest one. When some official, whether that comes in a black robe or even in a doctor or an official of a health thing, whoever that they are, color of that, when they said you have a mental infirmity, you're done. So don't underestimate the word sitting in the middle of that list. It's really the core of that list. If you're mentally done, there's no social well-being that you're going to have. You're physically probably not going to be, since you're locked up, you're not going to be in any good weight, and they have control. And you're not capable, except through one of their bar member agents, to speak. So don't underestimate that little sentence, why the World Health, or that it says its constitution, like it's a government. These are all frauds right here, but they're working in your life. If we would not have gone through Rona. We would not be going through the continuation of these, they even tie in through the climate change, through these whole things. In other words, climate change causes your physical harm, your mental harm, your social harms. As you hear, we think it's a joke, folks. These are the causes of their action. This is the dual use. You're watching the military attack that would make this, if you identify the fraud, makes this stuff a military. I don't have the words. It's just a psychopathy attack. It's done through you can look at it through the military, and the military is behind it. If you watch for like the warp speed stuff, this is a agency of oppression. I don't have the words for this stuff. It's like outside of when I say is it fascism, caution? No. It's a whole new beast. Literally, it's a beast. And they're given authority when they don't really have it. And their people think it's the stalking horses, warm and fuzzies. Who can be against this? No, that's what they prey on you. This is fall prey to Fauci. Yeah. It's all the same lineage. Who proposes to expand the mechanisms that enabled this response, diverting unprecedented resources to addressing what in terms of history and disease are rare and relatively low impact events? No, they're invented. They're all invented. They're all fraud. There's nothing. There's no low impact. There's nothing. They get you to believe there's something. And the problem is they have an authority that's been handed to them to allow that for them to do that. And no one has been able to challenge it quite correctly. No one started local to them to be able to do it. Understand, they keep repeating the COVID-19 outbreak. That was a fraud. That wasn't a pandemic either. Outbreak is different in communicable disease law, remember? You got to keep plugging these terms into the discussion. You'll either find out how the author doesn't understand, and then that'll also teach you how much you do understand when you can start to see this, how the org hierarchy is, and whether or not that author has been, their writings are causing a problem which would communicate the wrong idea, as I'm trying to identify. Yeah, look at this. These are comprehensive. This is what's coming against you. But don't just give over your thoughts to someone who's an author who may not actually understand it at all. Start applying what you've been finding that's more substantial. It's like I said, the eyes to see, the ears to hear type stuff. And don't question too much. Don't look too deep sometimes. The words are right up. They start talking words about transformation, and then change, and whatever you hear, all this innovation, you just know you're reading someone who's either mind controlled already or pushing the agenda to mind control you. In fact, I think that just happened. Someone asked me to read something, and I don't know if I have to go so deep. It's right here. Just read on the surface of their own description of what they do. They're either, well, in the organization, is someone that actually promotes the problem in the world. They're said to be neutral, but they're not. I don't read them neutral at all. But moving over to back to this, we have a international organization pressing. Remember the endless diseases. Pressing to move this treaty along. And these elites that, they call them elites. These are not elites. These are criminals. These are psychopaths. The elites meet to plan your health. Why? Because you're not protecting it. You're not letting, making sure you're planning your health. Obama scare comes up. Then Trump scare promotes on it some more. And everyone said okay. Again, not everybody, but enough. Way enough. Like the amount of people that were told took the jab. Now, here's the next. I said it was endless diseases coming. They're actually taking a back to the future here because they've been doing this for a long time. The WHO warns monkeypox could accelerate during the summer. CDC alerts U.S. doctors as virus reaches 13 countries. You monkeys. You humans. You see how they do that? You don't start declaring that you're a man or a woman. You're not a human. You're not the animal. They'll have you. And that's not the only, that's all, that's not a silver bullet or shield for you that you say that. They got to cancel that term and that status because they're coming after the human animal that I've been talking to you about that they're all about controlling. Why all this COVID stuff was war veterinary stuff. It's right here now coming in the news. The next endless threat, fear porn, handed over to somebody. I'm in a way I'm liking the monkeypox because you'll tell, you'll be able to know whether you have it or not. But at any rate, health authorities in Europe, North America, and Australia have begun to investigate an outbreak of monkeypox, raising concerns that a broader outbreak of viral infection could be underway in the West. Look at the hesitation. Could. Monkeypox is a viral disease typically endemic to Central and Western Africa, but since the start of May, dozens of confirmed cases have been reported in several countries outside of the continent. Many more suspected cases are being investigated. And so we see here it's endemic in Africa. Can't be considered a pandemic there, right? So there's the clue. They're making this stuff up again. And just got to keep track on that. I'm not going to get too much deeper. They just list everybody. It's all the main players that went down in COVID quick. Nobody challenged it. No one did it right. I see Portugal there. They came back. Their court came back and identified for us what the actual thing was supposed to do. But you notice that Portugal just went silent and went to sleep again after that important discussion by their courts of where the actual authority was. It's not somebody looking across the country, internet, or across the countries, across the globe. It's someone local, a doctor local to you that looks at you, not these things that seem to be popping up. Now we have, I'm going to bring up here an interesting, someone identified something in the promotion, which I'll be getting to. I'm not going to touch this anymore. Since last week, we now have to worry about the monkeypox, they say. And they're investigating outbreaks. But you notice it's scant information on that little determination as we go on to monkeypox preparedness exercise has pandemic start date of May 15th, 2022. Isn't that interesting, folks? Preparedness exercise has pandemic start date of May 15th. That's interesting here. When we looked at the story here, it tells us that someone made an observation. The media started pumping monkeypox into us at that day. So, do we see a pattern here? In fact, I had a thought. Maybe someone can get in touch with someone. I wish I knew their name. I don't contact them at all. Darn it. Melissa and Daryl, maybe? At Truthstream Media? They might have this information quickly. Amass all the exercises that were doing checks that then had the start dates on the day that they were, say, or within the time that they were thought to have come up. Start amassing those. There's about probably 4 or 5 of those. I think you do that, and you'll have the basis to be able to explain how it's a modus operandi of these psychopaths. Well, I think we're going to need that too. So I guess as I was thinking about that, let me offer that to anybody listening that may have connection to those. They do some great work. They likely already have the information that can compile it. And I think there's going to be a direction that can be taken to show that all this stuff is, well, I don't know what the causes all would be except the fraud and irreparable harm. And that can be enumerated. I didn't go that deep in my thoughts about it. But that's going to be some facts that we're going to show when you're asserting that the governments are beyond what I was saying with the Kobe fraud, beyond the failure of the communicable disease, when it looks like they're going to try and do something that has a much more difficult identification problem in that it's easier for them to hide it. You're going to need to show the fraud. And so as a thought out there. But so we had another exercise. Who'd have thunk it, folks? Preparedness exercise. And on the day of the time of the exercise, supposedly the simulation, it starts on that day, the immediate. And so more to read. We're going to be looking at a vaccine-resistant monkeypox outbreak and a biological warfare attack. It is the attack. Likely it's going to be all the same earmarks. And we move into the promotions and starting to tie the past into committing and creating the body of work that shows the fraud, the evidence of the fraud. And we move into someone else that observed. This is why I started to get the idea. I had the idea when I read what I just said about maybe getting somebody like Truth Free Media on board with their research probably already has this. It's literally for them copy and paste. And then we see this. Man, I wish we had a Ministry of Truth to fact check this. Spoken from Eric Aguilar for Congress, Florida 4th District. And we see a pane, window pane, FBI, CDC investigating several vials labeled smallpox found at a vaccine research facility. Fauci blasted by PETA, PETA, as most people say, for using monkeys in horrendous HIV experiments. Another story, woman falls ill after encountering escaped monkeys, sparking new pandemic fears, wild conspiracy theories. Mock monkeypox, another story of the past. Monkeypox cases detected in the United States, Europe, but experts caution against comparing it to COVID-19. Well, why? Because it's a fraud, right? You don't compare it to fraud. Crazy conspiracy theory claims Bill Gates behind monkeypox. U.S. buys millions of monkeypox vaccines after Massachusetts confirms case. There's that word again. And so compiling these historic conditions as a precedent of the modus operandi, that it's the officials that are actually messing with this stuff. It's all man-made, is going to probably be something we're going to need in the future. As we mentioned Bill Gates, we also find a lady named Danny, I hope it's a lady, didn't insult the name. I see the picture from Twitter using the same pic to advertise shows the promotion of this monkeypox. Interesting. I'm just picking this stuff up and running with it. We have to qualify every bit of it, but based on two websites that are in a picture, an image showing that from the health site, rare monkeypox cases reported from U.S. first time in near 20 years. All you need to know about it. It's all you need to know, folks. Don't get behind a woodshed, though. You might actually get to know and find out what you need to know. But the picture is a picture of a hand with a bunch of bumps. This is starting to connect the dots is the bottom of that picture. Connecting the dots to what? Well, the Queensland government, the Queensland Health webpage, shows the identical pictures but identifies it as shingles. Does it stop making sense, folks? Did it start making sense? I hope it starts making sense, because this is how if we forget the past, we will be indoctrinated into the future with the past, the past corruption. It's not like we're actually repeating it. We're just not paying attention to all the evidence that would say we're dealing with psychopaths in high places. And I say that advisedly. A high place was a limited place in the United States relative to government. So where are that official, the guy running for office, his candidate, don't even know if he is his past thing. Where are these people to stop this? Yeah, we can complain about it. We can identify the anomaly, but no one's stopping it against the implementation against us. So I found these links, these people that are finding information, I'm saying maybe this is the part of the bag of law you're going to put together for yourself if someone like Melissa, I guess, and Daryl, I apologize for not having their name, but don't have the facts for us. Even anybody who has this list of that does the lockdown stuff. I've reported about all of it. I just don't keep a diary on it. I don't keep it all locked in one little file. Go back and collect. I've done it, but I've did it over broadcasts and years. Of all these things that have been reported on, done in the past, way back when, coming to fruition today, and that needs to be, I think, now documented as we move. We see. I told you this is not ending. The endless disease. The WHO coming to determine your. It's not just cradle to grave, the United States against its own people. This is international, and your local officials are okay with that. If you don't understand the detached problem, and then the standard that they're going to be using, like as I've exposed in the minimum capacity mental, when you don't believe climate change is real, or you believe it is something else than what they say, you're going to be incapacitated, and they'll take charge of you. And your little green QR code, your green symbol will turn to red, and you'll be dealt with. Well, I'm not going to have one of those. Well, then maybe they'll knock on your door. Well, but they don't know where I'm at. Well, they do if you use the internet. How simple was that, folks? Now, getting over to how this thing works and the continuation of the endless diseases and the mention before in the prior link over to identifying that one article, Shanghai, I want to remind us and then move into showing the evidence that might be what China is willing to do despite the lack of COVID out there. Forget that it's a fraud. Just even if you believe that, you find that there's really nothing going on. It's like this endless ability for a government to continue to put it on you, on this, and control their people. And this is a lot of people, folks, that they're controlling. Video shows, so if you think that it can't happen here, here's the model. How much anywhere else does, I don't know. But they're doing this far, and they're getting away with it right now in Shanghai. Video shows reportedly starving Shanghai residents, screaming from homes during week-long mass COVID-19 lockdown. Read through. It's actually an older story. I want to bring it back. I wanted to then go to the link and show you. We have a link to Twitter of the video. It's still up. About people yelling in the high rises, skyscraper high rises, yelling and screaming. And that wasn't even good enough for me because you have the question purports to be this thing reportedly. Well, I ran across and I don't remember now where I got the link. If I got it from any of you who sent it to me, thank you. I forgot, but I ran across. In fact, I couldn't find out why I even had this link on. There was nothing attached to. I ran across an account on Twitter called Song Ping Gang. Unless that's Gank, Gang Q. You need to see what this, I don't know, whoever this poster is. You need to see what they're posting. Periodically, they'll say they're subject to arrest for what they're posting here. The stories are so comprehensive and they show you the concentration camps. They show you what's going on. They show you. What China is doing to their people. You need to take stock. You just roll through this account and look at what's being posted. You can make your decision on whether you think it's all set up or not. I took enough interest in it that I think it's something I want to take stock in and see, this is what government does. Why do I want to do that? Because the United States, nobody in the United States protected anybody. You went into lockdown and with hardly a whimper. You actually got bribed to stay there. Now, certainly going to find out that's not going to work long. But this really kind of, I don't know, if you just think it's just reportedly people screaming out their windows because they want to, they want to be let loose in China. You need to see the Song Ping Gang account. And I just scroll through that. Scroll through what whoever's got the video coming out. I don't know how they're getting it out if it's that locked down, but it's... I don't have words anymore, folks. What people do to other people because they have an official status. If you go through his account, you see what they do. I mean, just a bunch of people being confronted, being dragged off because your little QR code says you went from green to red. It's pretty astonishing. And then to tie a little bit of this together, you think it's just happening over there. You think it's just, I guess, just out there. We just think it's somewhere else. I just picked up one of many tweets from the David Knight Show. He seemed to have the best discussion. Pure Davos Evil, Nurse Ratchet, Bull Ra, says it's medication time. Pfizer will snitch to those who bark orders at you, telling them if you medicated with whatever they demanded. Can you remember the time when the medical profession at least pretended they were about healing? This is the Pfizer CEO Albert Bourla explains Pfizer's new tech to Davos crowd: ingestible pills, a pill with a tiny chip that sends a wireless signal to relevant authorities when the pharmaceutical has been digested. Then he says, imagine the compliance. It's a bit terrifying. This is a Pfizer CEO, the one that got jabbed out, get out at warp speed, explaining at the World Health Forum discussion what this technology is. Now, there's some people that disregard this and say, well, this has to do with one chemical, one drug, that they do this for some people. I'm suggesting this is telling you that they're going to be able to do this to any drug. I've already reported on this technology. This isn't even new. They're saying it's been working. And then when you look at what, you got to watch how he's talking and how his eyes, his eyebrows, his fingers, how he puts his fingers in. Look at the body language. This is not about one little drug and they're getting people to make sure that they take the drug. This is the inside the tracking perfect knowledge requirement that's going on. And this view has been sent around millions of times. You likely may have seen it, but you need to watch, because you need to watch the body language. It tells me a ton. The detractors are just, they just need, I don't know what to say. There's a lot of people in denial. There's a lot of people that want to narrow what he says and not want to expand it to other things. But behind the woodshed, there's too many other things that we can attack. And I really have a problem with the guy's accent. You may pick up on it. It's another one of these guys that are a problem with relative to the control, the technocratic control, the shift of political power in the world, and the elephant in the room is speaking right here. And almost smug that that he knows what they're talking about, and he's being careful not to, I guess, let a cat out of the bag, if you will. So we don't think nothing's going on. We wonder how the Chinese, and you see the videos in the Song Ping Gang posting what they do, how they're connected to the digital realm to identify everyone individually, where they are, what they're doing. How they have people tracking people down. Kobe fraud was all about this, but it's being implemented now. I don't see how you get away from the fact of it in the video. I don't think they could make that many videos with that much Hollywood. I think these are actual videos of what's going on there. And there's trepidation about what they're doing. He even shows some lady who was confronted who does not agree with the government, and the government's right there, their little, clipboard ready to deal with them, to shut them up. So this all looks real to me. It looks like the far end, one of the far ends. And like I said before, what the government does is that they show you the far end, you get to see it, they promote it, and then they ask you to do something that's three quarters as bad, and you think that's good, so you accept it. Well, we should be having a zero code policy until they show demonstrate the non-fraudulent exigency. There is nothing they can say. Everything they do is a crime, a treason. And you better have that more than the words I just said. You better have a knowledge of your own law for their obligation and duty, not the one they claim to you, but they have to have it done first. If you think that this tracking down and this medication that can transmit out of your body into some place and give the medical professional the knowledge of that you've taken the drug, he goes through a little bit more there. We can see here the CDC tracked millions of phones to see if Americans followed COVID lockdown orders. If you don't think they want to know whether or not you're compliant. what more? I look at this stuff. I go, what more do people need to know? This is real stuff. This is not just ideas. The people who claim to have a health authority, who are connected to this international need to control your life, that includes those three subject matter areas of physical, mental, and social, are tracking you for COVID lockdown compliance. Okay, that's not even new news for those of us, what, they might call me a conspiracy theory. You know that I don't get that call. You know why. And you should know why right off the bat, because I don't have an opinion on it. I go and find the documents that show that's what's happening. And this is interesting. I look at all the people that get attacked. I don't get attacked. And the few people that want to try and criticize me don't have a foundation, actually, when you get right down to it. It's not because I'm just saying, oh, it doesn't matter. No, I go and I apply everything that's being said, and I look around with what I've done and try to see if I've made a mistake. But I come supported by information. We were told they needed to track and trace. Now it comes out, newly released documents showed the CDC planned to use phone location data to monitor schools and churches and wanted to use the data for many more non-COVID-19 purposes too, which is the main thing I saw in that story. Bring on monkeypox. You humans. Stop being a human. Stop being subject to the monkey. Grimner would have loved this, but he said he was a monkey. So that's a problem, isn't it? So we've got to be careful on our words, because in the future, these people will take that as the truth, and you won't have a say. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention bought access to location data harvested from tens of millions of phones in the United States to perform analysis in compliance with curfews, track patterns and people visiting K-12 schools, and specifically monitor the effectiveness of policy in the Navajo Nation, according to the CDC documents obtained by Motherboard. The documents also show that although the CDC used COVID-19 as a reason to buy access to the data more quickly, it intended to use it for more general CDC purposes. What could that possibly be? Well, the uninformed would say health. Oh, keeping us healthy and safe. I'm telling you, it's for fraud. You heard the CDC bought. You're hearing the public-private partnership. You heard the government is circumventing the protections of the Constitution because they don't have to have a warrant to request it from a third party who they will buy it from. And you're in this that first paragraph, you're watching the destruction of you, what you thought was the constitutional protections when the government now gets involved to do this stuff against you. And why, again, fortifying what I've been saying, why it is so important to go to your local law for health and your local law to demand or get evidence or what, however it's derived, that it was not. The first medical report was never made, and therefore jurisdiction was not established by the health official to even allow this stuff by the CDC, who now then is in foreign encroachment, a breach of the sovereignty of the state. Totally different discussion now. It's not about the constitutional rights they're violating. It's about the established organic government they violated. And this is what I talk about being fluid. And I'm not saying that's the only discussion, and there might not be better ones. I'm saying that's another one I would move in to fortify and use as a defense, because they're not going, you cannot sue the CDC on violating a warrant, needing a warrant issue here. This is it. I mean, this is what they're doing. They're circumventing. This is the third-party problem. I've been talking about this for a long time. This is our worst nightmare, literally. No one's talking about it, but that's what our worst nightmare is, not COVID fraud. Coronavirus bogus, the bogus bogeyman. No, it's what they're doing behind, what the consequence of what they're doing behind what they do. Why they went to buy it was because they can, and they went to spend the money. The problem I see, that's a waste of money, because that was all based on a fraud, and the CDC had no right to the determinations to all that information if there was no initiating report. So the problem here is you finding out you were one of the people that was tracked and it shouldn't have, and then you have a standing possibly to go after him for that. But this is building up ideas no one's going to do because it's just hard. They said space was hard. No, protecting your rights is getting like literally hard, impossible, almost. And if you don't think smart cities are tied in QR codes and vax passports and everything that these elites trying to plan your future health underneath the WHO's mission constitution is important, going back to that Song Ping Gaku, don't know how to pronounce that, account, he had a listing. As I said, go through that post. It's really, it's shocking. I was just, my mouth just hanging open watching what those people are being subjected to. And they can do it anywhere. They just didn't in the places that believe they have freedom quite yet. They're going to get you another way. They're going down that Fed trust currency condition, another third-party problem. Right here, this is the post. Smart city and QR code vax passport combined, making people nowhere to hide. Authorities keep close eye on yellow. You should home quarantine. Red, you should be in concentration camp. And QR code vaccine passport holders in real time with smart city brains help. Brains help. That's that AI. Just what I was talking to last week. He has a link that shows you how they're actually implementing that on the big screen, so to speak. And they're tying, look at how they're tying them all together. Like I've said, smart cities are tied to sustainability. QR codes are that new technocratic connection. We talked about the QR code before. I've already put this on. This is all record. And this is how they're controlling people's real-time actions, your behavior. And what's more shocking, when this doesn't even do it, when you go back to this guy's account and look at the literal pictures, the video of the concentration camp modules all tied together, and they feed you on a tray as they run the car down the outside of the driveway while you're locked in this little room all painted white. It starts to make a starker meaning on when you see this little smart city QR code vax passport connection, your ID, your digital ID coming into fruition for health matters, so-called. And so, again, it's, what can I say? You just have to expose yourself to the reality. Whether anybody sees this level, I don't know, but I do know it's what people complained of is the antithesis type thing that they provide to you, and then, you know, synthesis for the solution. This is all beyond that. They've already figured out how to get what they need. You're not going to make that argument. You're going to have to figure out a way to avoid it before it happens. And anyway, so here we have, he's talking to get smart cities is tied to COVID, passports, QR codes, all this digital ID, control, behavior control, and three things that are going to happen relative to all that data. And they get, the more data they have, the more perfect data they have. And this is all part of their plan. If you look at all these terms, they all come up. And this ends up coming, and I move right to the next tab, as we have Iran, a digital food rationing rolls out for biometric IDs. And this is another Christian at Ice Age Farmer account. He's really, I can't say enough anymore. He's really got the, when I hear his words, he understands how to tie the back end of this up. And he's been predictive as well. I just found something I'll send to you here in another couple tabs. He talked about something, it's on my radar, but not as an organizational thing. He talked about something in 2021 I'm going to get to, which another emailer sent just as a side information that turns out to be important in the context of connection to all this stuff. This, if you will, climate change, sustainability, the Modernization Act really is where this goes. Christian Arts, Ice Age Farmer, identifies for us that Iran digital food rationing rolls out using biometric IDs. You have to listen to how he explains this. He shows the documentation. This is part of the austerity, part of the sustainability, part of Agenda 2030. He identifies this as well. I've been talking about that here as we move in through this broadcast. He comes up with quite a few concepts of topic, the terminology that has been riding with us. I've been reporting on this these concepts and for as long as I've been broadcasting. It's just what we're under. It's the international imposition advanced by the Bar Association, put in through leverage funding, through the university system, the law schools, through the implementation of government, the cancer that's inside the system, the thing we sued in 2013. Okay? 2013, I'm on record doing this stuff, stopping this as well. He's showing us and identifying, I don't know how, he has all the time to do this, and I appreciate, I guess that's what I appreciate most, and he understands how to put it forward. He talks about what's true cost accounting. When we're talking about the WHO looking at their constitution under social benefit and not being interfered with that, you don't understand, and he'll explain to you that I've told you, but it doesn't seem to make too many people, importance to too many people. All that's attached to the underlying agenda. That you'll meet, you'll have all that as long as you meet what their expectation, their rules are. So true cost accounting is attached to these things. This carbon market is also attached to all this. He talks about the Iran putting, essentially opens it up. This is the mark of the beast, folks. You won't buy or sell without the digital ID. In this case, it's the rationing, the food, bread rationing is the first thing they attack. And he'll explain to you the documents say it's going to expand to other things like oil, cooking oil, and things like that. They go right after what you need. And understand, it's the most needy that get the first oppression. We have true cost accounting is built into this. True cost accounting is not what is based in, he'll tell you, and it is beyond a fair market value. It's just like fair market value is not, there is no capitalism unless they can capitalize on you and make you the beast of burden, the human animal, now with monkey pox. This is beyond a fair market value. What true cost accounting is to include indirect and extended costs that ends up being carbon taxes. He'll explain, this is an excellent video you need to listen to. It's kind of short in a way. Again, you could go all day talking about this stuff on how it's being implemented. He will talk about, in fact, in the article you read right up on the top, it's a control food and you control people. We understand that, but understand that's what they're doing. Look around you, folks, what's starting to go on, what the concerns are. They're also looking for perfect data. All these electronic, the internet of battlefield of things is creating a perfect data condition. They'll claim that's science. You need perfect data to do science. It's just another ace in the card up their sleeve for this. That requires digital IDs. It requires tracking. It requires real-time surveillance. You're watching China. If I can see that those videos are true, and I can't see how they're not, they are doing this right now. They are doing this now in Iran. You don't get rationing bread. As he'll explain to you, you can buy non-subsidized bread and government cheese, but it's going to cost you. And who's going to have the money for that? You watch it unfold here, and then say this is happening to me, and then start to work to protect yourself. He goes on to identify for us that this is echoing the Agenda 2030. I say it's the implementation. And I remember, as I read this, I took many broadcasts to read it, where a prosperity, the term prosperity, it's like the height of 1984. It's the height of the, like, war means peace and all this other nonsense. The prosperity in this Agenda 2030 means debt and of unavoidable obligations that are subject to true cost accounting. In other words, the religion, the green religion, if you don't think this is about religion, then you better get one so that you can say, hey, that's a violation to my religion. You better find one that's valid, because this is how they're coming at us. And this is where I came up with the mark on the beast instead of mark of the beast. You better be active. Mark on the beast at protonmail.com. They're coming with this, and you're going to have to be able to contend with it and not take the mark of the beast, which is taking on this tech, and one level, the physicality of it, taking on the technology of it to implement it. You have prosperity means debt and unavoidable obligations, and I hope you can hear social credit and trust tokens directly administered by the Fed in that. If you don't think this is connected. And then Christian offers, as he does, and I have, maybe lesser because I don't have much connection to it more than to say it and do it on my own, that he offers that there should be a decentralized food system to combat all this, and it needs to be created by y'all. Look around so you don't have to get that mark of the beast to buy your ration of bread and government cheese, which we thought was a joke, Chris Farley. We thought that was a joke. So, folks, this is pretty powerful what Christian does in this video here, relative to tying it all together with the terminology, where it's going, these elites that are planning your health, it's planning your future. In those subject matter areas, talks right to this. Iran now implementing, if you don't have the mark, your QR code on their device, you aren't going to eat. So, folks, the mark of the beast is here. It's coming to a catastrophe near you. It's going to be prepare or prosperity. If you've been half listening, you say, oh, I'll take prosperity. See how they did that? Prosperity is austerity subject to what? True cost accounting determined by the bureaucrat. The WHO. The sustainability crowd. Klaus Schwab, Greta. What's it truly cost when you apply their view of the world, the future they want, is what's going to be added to your life, which is what I've been telling you. Christian succinctly puts it together. And so I want to thank him if he never hears it. At any rate, I'm going to say it. I thank him for what he's now pulling together. These last few broadcasts in the last months or two, because he's putting the background up, he's coming and telling you, this is the implementation. I don't think he fully appreciates that. It's really being implemented. He says, like, echoing Agenda 2030. No, this is the implementation stages. But he's telling us. You can't hear me behind the woodshed, go listen to Christian. He'll got the documents. He does all the cool video stuff. You can go look at those documents and you can go back and see what, track them back and find out whether or not this is implementing against us. Carbon tax, carbon market, that's all to put more taxes on us. True cost accounting is what they call it. That's also best practices. They want to say that you're dealing, fair dealing with somebody to offer you a good or a service or something is not good enough. Your fair market demand is not enough because everything you do is a harm to Gaia. And those people that have the green religion, that the adherents of it, will, because of your harm to Gaia, their belief structure, their belief messiah, are going to impose upon you that do not have that same belief. So it ramps this thing up pretty quick if you get right to the nubbins of it. What I was explained to me about all this back in the 70s, I couldn't even conceive how they would do it across the world. And I've been watching in the last year or 2 years, it turned into a real thing. And I hear crickets. Carbon tax, carbon sequestration, we laugh. Carbon markets, we laugh. We say it's a fraud. Even the officials say it's no good. They just keep on going. They keep on going. Well, that ends up being a fraud, too. I understand that Tesla, the electric car company, actually makes money because of this carbon set-off, because they make green vehicles. There's money behind this fraud. There's money behind how they're taking you down, how they're transforming your life with innovative strategies. The words are here. Just listen for them. You can hear who you're dealing with. Like I said, when you hear someone using that language, they're either ignorant or they're a change agent. It may be worse. Maybe they're actually implemented, like the Department of Energy, where it spends $2.5 billion on carbon capture. So while you don't think Iran is like on the outs because Trump said so, they're one of the people implementing this already. Like I told you, watch out underneath Russia. They may have a right against Ukraine, which not many people recognize, but they are not pushing that agenda. They're actually fulfilling what Iran's doing in a different way. The strings are being pulled to the net to capture us. Part of this continuation of smart cities, sustainability, Agenda 2030, is this fraud on carbon problems. We are the humans and monkeys, now with monkeypox, make carbon. You don't have life without carbon, folks. We're a carbon life. Science says that. It shows you how divorced from science these people are. The Department of Energy is spending $2.5 billion on carbon capture. The biggest lie in the millennium is that the carbon is bad and it should be removed from the atmosphere. CO2 is essential to life and especially the plant growth. Without CO2, photosynthesis cannot take place. Technocrats are attempting to curtail food production and reduce population at the same time, using taxpayer funds to finance it. There's your leverage funding. The taxpayers pay for it. This is carbon capture, saying that what plants are putting out is a problem. Fossil fuels are a problem, even though fossils never gave a drop of oil, never. And so you see the problem with their language. They're just about to try and get your warm and fuzzy emotions going because they know they can attack you and beat you. But the United States government is putting toward a fraud, a $2.5 billion. You, at your local house, are not going to compete with that kind of motivation. Is why this whole thing is transferred to somewhere else, and we're going to have to think about how that works. This is where the United States, as I've talked on and on and on about the agencies are promoting sustainable development. I've talked about, I don't know how many places we find with the international connections. You see it with the CDC. You see it with the WHO, the UN, all this stuff. It's all interconnected. Not just connected, it's interconnected at the point of the oppression. That there's money behind what Christian has been identifying to put into to stop food production. They identify it here directly. The Technocracy News editor explains, and I can't see how that's not right. I can't see how it isn't the truth. What was this? He just stated there. The money's out there to start to implement more and more impositions relative to bringing on the future they want, the sustainable future where you pay. Not only do you pay in your leveraged funding through taxes, you will pay through true cost accounting measures. And again, that's under control of the global technocrat. You see how fast the COVID explained us. Everybody would focus on the WHO's guidance, and it was all fraud. It's all been fraud. But the Department of Energy here is doing that, putting investment, and I went back and looked through this again. It happened to be another email. I haven't even gotten to that email, but the topic and subject matter came up, and then I did some research, and before I found the Iran story, that the mark of the beast is now being started in Iran to buy rationed food, and it's going to expand to every aspect, they say right in the report. The minister of Iran says this is going to be, you have to have this mark to buy all kinds of things eventually. Again, slow and incremental. Iran, for as heinous and criminal and terroristic as they've been determined, they do everything the same as every other government in the world. But Christian had made a story I tracked down relative to this story of the Department of Energy putting $2.5 billion to destroy your nation in this fraud called carbon sequestration or carbon capture that pays for a system to be put across the Midwest, pipeline system, which comes in and takes out property rights, like because people don't understand. And if you look real closely at this next story or the stories that are attached to this, if I remember that right, they say that this is going to take, the threat is put on the property owner to capitulate. In other words, they have to get your consent, and then they threaten your property with eminent domain. Is the tactic of these thugs and these people who don't have a right, and if people understood their property rights, they would not allow that, and then they would attack the premise for the reason why the land had to be taken. They can't take eminent domain for fraud. And here's I need to make this observation to y'all. You don't challenge climate change. You make the statement in an equity suit that it's fraud and require the other side to prove it exists. Farmers' land confiscated for carbon pipeline through Corn Belt was a story that Christian had posted about a year ago, I think. I can't remember the date now. He was talking to this very thing that the Department of Energy is now in the news to invest $2.5 billion to do. Farmers' land across the Midwest is being confiscated to make way for the construction of a massive 1,300-mile-long carbon capture and sequestration pipeline while they shut down Keystone and some others, folks. If you don't think the current regime and the administration, notwithstanding the president who's ever in office, is in the process of destroying your nation. Town halls in hundreds of counties are full of angry farmers, and county officials announce there's not much we can do as the world enters a food crisis. Plowing under tens of thousands of acres of best soil in America is complete madness. Or is it a flawlessly calculated attack? He asks. That's got to be rhetorical. Absolutely an attack. I've been talking about this for years. Ice Age Farmer had that story over about a year ago or so in 2021, however long ago. Based in also in this money that comes this week to tell us that they're making an investment to do what? Take out your food production, take your land by eminent domain. As I see this over, that he makes this story about a year ago or whatever, people shouldn't be angry. They should be formulating their mutual defense groups and asserting, not just asking their counties to protect them, start making local laws that they're obligated under the state's admissions acts, or we would call it enabling acts in the state, to protect them from this fraud. Declare it a fraud. Declare there's no actual evidence. It's like COVID. There's no evidence that this is something that you can come bring you eminent domain for our people. The county is the ultimate authority there to protect. As I'm talking now, it's just ideas. These are just things to pencil down and then reinvestigate to see the truth of it and follow the path that has the best form. But you're not going to do it by arguing to your representative, because your property rights are defended by you in the first instance. This is my main problem I'm seeing with a lot of people. In fact, I've had a lot of work having to work with some emergency cases, and the first thing I look at is whether or not they could breach the disposal, the absolute exclusive disposal, and they bring rules that don't exist against that disposal. So there's nothing else really to talk about at that point. The only other thing I know to do is find out, well, they've done it before, and they're going to do this as a pattern of crime. These are agencies now, officials. And so we got to head them off with those. But the first thing you look at is, do these people have authority to do this? If they're advancing a fraud, why are you even arguing with it? Why are you trying to prove the non-existence of a fraud when you have the right to sit peaceful in your property? You have right to sit peaceful in your innocence. Anyway, he did it again here. Ice Age Farmer points out, based on this other story, that the Department of Energy is working, investing infrastructure, $2.2 billion carbon capture to destroy you, your own federal government. And the failure of the states, as I said, well, what the county should do different, and boy, I'd like to know the county commissioners that would step up. There's, boy, not very many. Not very many at all, if any. I mean, I know one maybe, and then after a while, that doesn't work. We see how the state governments capitulate. Governor Whitmore announces first in the U.S. wireless electric vehicle charging road system contract awarded by MDOT, Michigan. First in the U.S., wireless electrical charging. I think this stuff is the coolest ideas I've ever seen, but you don't understand what they're doing with it. Go back to the Department of Energy spending $15 billion on carbon capture. They also have money, transportation money now, not at that, another different agency, to put in these road systems that allow for your electric car to be charged. Again, money spent into reducing a footprint in carbon that doesn't exist. It exists as a fraud, as an implementation. What I noticed on this was that here the state doesn't have to take that money, but it does. And so you're watching as the officials represent you in your respective states, they're capitulating to this overthrow and the destruction underneath the warm and fuzzy that you're going to have a car that can charge itself while it goes down the road. Well, first of all, think about, do you think that's going to be for free? Or are you going to have to go ahead and tie in with all your identity in order and your bank account, which likely goes to the Fed trust, to pay for that travel? And what about use of that road? You think that's going to be the value added? You have to do total cost on top of that they get to charge you? Are you starting to hear how the plunder starts to work? And I wanted to know, okay, how much money are they doing? I got you another link. It takes a little bit to read through this stuff. Governor Whitmore announces Michigan will receive $100 million to expand an electric vehicle charging infrastructure. $100 million? Well, they got a couple billion they're working on. $100 million, what are they going to do? Well, let's read the first line. And we find out that it's a project. It's $100 million, $110 million over 5 years. In a formula funding to support the expansion of electric vehicle charging infrastructure made possible by the passage of the Federal Bipartisan Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, the United States Department of Transportation Federal Highway Administration will invest $5 billion in formula funding across the country to build the first ever national network of EV chargers. Well, how much are they going to be doing here? What is the project? We go back to the first tab and we work, well, $110 million, but what they're going to do is they're going to be working with a private company, public-private partnership, as a project. Electrion has been selected to build a public wireless in-road charging system to pilot on a one-mile section of road in Detroit, the place they Detroitified, folks, into the name, the same name of climate change. They're now going to go ahead and invest this money on a one-mile section. In September 2021, Governor Gretchen Whitmer first announced the pilot initiative to develop the nation's first wireless charging infrastructure on the public road in the United States, right here in Michigan. This is a governor's office promotion. More than half of Michigan's automotive suppliers conduct automotive vehicle testing in this state. Well, there used to be a lot more when they didn't Detroitify everything and send all the manufacturing offshore. So where's the actual and true cost being paid for there and accounted for there? Michigan offers nearly 600 miles of roadway equipped for connected vehicle testing and is building the road of the future with a new 40-mile connected corridor project being led by the MDOT and Office of Future Mobility and Electrification. It's already baked in, folks. What's that going to cost you here? $110 million per mile, which is then going to be charged to you on your little cell phone and QR coded. You just go zooping by the toll booths and all the extra regulation so you don't hurt their new baby to go back to the state and put you in electric cars eventually. But you figure out now across the country what kind of damage they're doing to the tax, so-called tax roll, the treasury, to invest $110 million per mile to start making a connection across the nation, at least one highway, to start charging electrical vehicles. And you'll see the kind of stupidity and insanity that you're dealing with as they plunder your nation. And the point here being, the state is allowing it. The state didn't say, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to take your bribe. Does that sound like COVID? Sure does. Sounds like it to me. If you haven't heard enough Behind the Woodshed to know that, maybe you should listen a little bit more. It's the identical plan. This is how these people work. $110 million for a mile-long project? And they're advertising this. They think this is the greatest thing since privileged bread. Privileged sliced bread, folks, no. But what's this thing really doing when you go cost added, when you go into control, when you do the future that they want? They're not giving you any infrastructure to the carbon fuels, that's for sure. No, they're using eminent domain and threats, and the state stands by and watches it. But let's jump over the pond and we'll see what happens here. As we see this control coming down, and we're seeing more and more people, this is like the news I've reported on, actually being coming out now. In Britain, electricity bills for the population by October will amount to £3,000, about 250,000 rubles. Isn't that an interesting addition there? This is reported by the Daily Mail with the reference to the statement of the head of the Scottish energy company, Scottish Power SP, Keith Anderson. We are talking about the annual amount. In such conditions, 10 million homes will not be able to afford heating this winter, Anderson points out. Already, a wave of fires has swept across Britain, which is the result of people burning firewood in a desperate attempt to keep warm. If you thought your government or the Queen cares about you more than the fraud that the future we want through the implementation of the World Health Forum, looking at planning your health, which includes your social responsibility and benefits, which is obligations, isn't directly attached to this truth, this fact now in the world of the actual, what they won't tell you is going on, which is the true cost of accounting, because it's not about giving you energy. It's about accounting for how you're going to behave in the future that they want. And we're seeing evidence. I've reported on this. It's happening now, officially, that they're bringing on this smart thing, which is not so, I tell you, smart is not intelligent, but it's public-private partnership. It's a way to skirt your constitutions. It's a way to skirt the controls, in particular where no one says anything about it. It's a way to plunder the so-called treasury, invest the again. If you look at the point about not having limitation on the treasury, when the Fed could produce any amount of dollars, and I told you it went in 2009 to fraud can be monetized. Every fraud, the 7.5 billion, this $5 billion of fraud money actually can be monetized. It becomes GDP. Remember that report? They actually take credit for the plunder against you. If you didn't hear the genius of how this works. Then they tap you for it, and then they attach the true cost accounting while they're taking away your land, your property rights, your production from the property rights, and starve you out. It's not a story now. It's happening across the globe. Figure out the scope of this. Calgary residents face, get back to this side of the pond now, in the Queen's realm, Calgary residents face tough choices living with caps on power use as utility bills pile up. In other words, your caps and you still have piling up bills. Josie Gagney was stumbling in the dark, sobbing while on the phone with an NMAX customer assistant as she tried to locate the tiny orange button under the utility meter that would restore the heat inside. It was the shock that got her. The young single mother with two kids under two returned home one winter day last year to find a note on her door from NMAX. She'd fallen behind the bills. The home was now a limiter capping her electricity. The furnace was on, and at the time, she had no idea what a limiter even was. I'm freaking out. I'm crying, thinking, what am I going to do? She said. It's the middle of winter. It's still cold outside. How am I going to feed my children when my oven doesn't work? Well, those are good questions, folks. This is your future. It's happening now. This is smart homes. Now figure out that the company that was doing this, not the company supplying the power, but the company they use as an agent to do this, goes down. How are you going to even get your power back even if you don't have a cherry red button to push? And then you're limited on that. You're rationed. This is not a future thing. This is not a movie, folks. This is happening. This is what this universe, internet, a battlefield of things is doing and helping to do. It's global already. Taiwan combines vaccine passport with digital ID. It's all connected, folks. It's interconnected is what the point there really is. Globally. Taiwan's digital COVID-19 certificate used to verify testing and vaccination status will now include the individual's national ID number. How fast was that, folks? Oh, don't listen behind the woodshed to find out that's going to happen. Don't listen behind the woodshed to say, oh, this token, Bitcoin stuff, this digital tokenization is being pulled together for your social credit. Your actual credit system credit is actually part of that already. You didn't know that. Now they're just going to digitize it all. They need an ID. Here we see it. You can see Iran going to put your mark on the beast to get your bread and your government cheese. Here. Taiwan's going to require the digital ID, COVID-19 certificate for a national ID. You don't think the United States has it? What's real ID? The Central Epidemic Command Center, a lie, that not one first report, said that the digital vaccine certificate rolled out on January 1st this year will now include the national ID number and will require insurance companies to allow residents to use COVID certificates to make claims. In other words, if you don't have the mark, you don't make a claim. If you didn't realize that having the vaccine, anything digital, they'll just add more obligation. They'll add more identity. They'll add more ways to identify you where you don't have a place to hide, just like they're having in China. And I talk about these things week to week, I guess, I'm hoping. When I'm making comments, you have to keep connecting these things up as I go over the tabs. They're all connecting up to tell you another story, even a proof of the beyond conspiracy theory into fact. And I've been asking, what are you going to do about it? This is not a story. This is not just something you tell your kids at night just to scare them right before bed. That's what we like to do, the jokers that we is. But you think it stops. It's not global, Taiwan, Iran, Mark of the Beast, WHO going to control all your life, and the states are all right with it. We know that the states are all right with it because we're going to spend $110 million for a mile of self-charging, electrical charging. I just can't even believe that. But keep going here. No, it's around everywhere. New South Wales begins digital birth certificate program as part of a digital ID push. So you see Taiwan starts with the vaccine passport. They now make an ID. And now over in New South Wales, we see that the government is going to now attach your birth certificate. Now, those of you that understand about birth certificate, who rail about it, where I tell you nothing in the United States do you have to claim a birth certificate that I know of to get anything done, actually. This is telling you your future is nigh for the problem that you have been identifying. And when they do that, you won't be able to remove yourself, is what I've been telling you to be careful of. New South Wales begins digital birth certificate. I guess if the Insteon company dies, you don't have a birth certificate. As part of the big global push digital ID system, the Australian state of New South Wales government has contracted ThoughtWorks, a Canadian tech company, to develop a digital birth certificate system. That plan started last year with the NSW government announced it was consulting with digital birth certificates. Consulting about digital birth certificates as part of the government made easy plan. The government made easy for government, not you, not your freedom. These are the people in Australia that lock people down violated all the same communicable disease laws that everywhere else did, locked people down, and took away everything that they thought was a freedom. And a lot of those people said, okay. So digital birth certificates. Now we up the ante, because those of you that talk about birth certificates, why do they even want to do that? Well, because they're capitalizing on you. And you're not going to be able to avoid it when it's here. You can avoid it right now if it's not digitally created, because you just don't have to refer to it. But when they go to this and they tie it to the your identification, and now it's global, and the WHO is taking care of you, and it's directly trust obligated to the Fed, have you dealt with anybody that's a government in that relation, in those relationships yet? No. But they're monetizing that birth certificate, aren't they? Now, those of you that talk about it, now you should worry. But the worry is staying out. MasterCard. Folks, this is an ongoing comedy show, actually. MasterCard is not you. Introduces controversial biometric payments that require a face scan. Amid privacy concern, payments giant MasterCard is rolling out the controversial biometric payment system, allowing users to pay with the wave of a hand and a smile at the camera. Isn't that nice? The payment giant said it's rolling out biometric checkout programs to speed up checkout time and reduce K's. It also claims that biometric systems are more secure and hygienic than debit and credit cards. Really? Really? At any rate, that's what they're telling you. That's the story. And didn't we hear that MasterCard's part of the program of the future they want? One of the companies, the third-party companies, that's going to take your data. They're going to insist on the biometric data, biometric information. We've been talking about that forever. They need all that data. They need to be able to make multiple ways to identify you. And now we see that they're testing the waters in New South Wales to bring your birth certificate, the monetizable part of that, to bear into these accounts. There will be no place to escape to. As we were fighting, you tried to fight facial recognition. Well, that might be one of the things you can still do, because I ran across a story here. Privacy advocates celebrate big win, even though that's in quotes, against facial recognition giant. And so here's one of the points here. You can't do it by silence. Somebody has to step up and attack the imposition by, let's say, MasterCard to do this. A historic settlement filed in court on Monday highlighted the power of Illinois' strong privacy law and will result in the new nationwide restrictions on the controversial technology company infamous for selling access to the largest known database of facial images. Largest known database of facial images. These represent your phone, folks. They represent one of the biggest victories to consumers to date. Let me stop here. You can read more. This is about that clear AI problem that I reported on, that is now told that the deal permanently banning clear AI from providing most private entities with free or paid access of its database stems from a lawsuit that the ACLU and partnership filed in 2020, arguing that the company violated the Illinois Biometric Information Privacy Act. Stop here. This is where the states can step up, and they need to. I told you, any obstruction to these implementations need to come into law now. Not the laws that they're allowing to harm, these kinds of laws. You need to advocate in every state to have these types of laws put in place so a company like MasterCard can't. All right? Here's a thing that goes on. It's not just a story. It's an actual model that you might be able to take to start pushing back. This is some of the evidence I was telling you of how this is going to work. It's going to take a crew of people to do it. So the mutual assistance that we need to pull together. State by state, we have to take our states back. It's one avenue. This settlement is a big win for the most vulnerable people in Illinois. Why is it always the most vulnerable? I told you, the poor get taken out first. And the middle class is being brought down to poor. Oh, lots of dollars are exchanging, but everyone's poor relative to their ability to buy. And then you have to start getting rationed government food, right? And you have to have the mark of the beast to do that. So big victory shows one of the options. MasterCard's coming in to require this. Well, you can't do that in Illinois. How come the rest of the states aren't stepping up? ACLU, why'd they do in 2020 this partnership? Thank them for doing that, but why didn't they stop COVID by identifying that it was the fraud, that no one in that state, even Illinois, in that state, nobody identified anyone by the process that their state legislature had determined? What is the hypocrisy between the two here? What is the mistreatment between the two? It's also on people, too, to bring that up. So the state is where they kill us, and the state can stop it. It's as simple as having the proper law in the proper place. And I've been suggesting that's one of the things we have to get done for as, painful as that is. I mean, like I said, it's just difficult. And that's why I think more people help. I mean, you can support each other. You can hit the representatives that you need to hit. You can, more importantly, you can work on the ones that are the maybe in control, because like there's some blue states that you can't get past some of this. You're going to have techniques and tactics in order to get after those that are maybe on the line and can be pushed over, or those that are just steadfast to go to bring on the harm. You have to show them how they're doing that and find ways that they're vulnerable to influence them in order to get the law that you need. Again, this is evidence that it's one more way to approach, as I've suggested, one more way to approach this foreign onslaught is to make laws against it. Bring your own savings clause in a law. Now, while that is possible, interesting story comes through. Supreme Court allows police to use warrantless real-time cell phone data to sweep Americans into digital data dragnet. We're talking about the net being pulled together. Obviously, they need the real-time data. Obviously, you see that working in China. It works in the United States as well, so don't think that we're much different. Everyone wants to point the finger, oh, Russia's no good, China's no good, Iran's no good. They're all the same, folks. They're all, they may be no good because they're implementing the future, but you're not recognizing that part. See, we address them as like a political thing. It's all one politics in the world. It's beating down and capitalizing on the human animal and oppressing it. The United States Supreme Court has let stand a lower court ruling that allows police to warrantlessly track people's location and movements through their personal cell phones, despite longstanding Fourth Amendment prohibitions against warrantless seizures and searches and seizures, growing concerns about the government's massive surveillance network. Again, Rutherford Institute reporting on this. I've actually talked about this story as well before, and this is another, this is an additional explanation about how this works out against us, notwithstanding the Fourth Amendment, which when it stops working, then you have to start wondering whether or not, where do you live anymore? What establishment are you in? However, in reading this case, and I didn't have a lot of time to study it, it's the way the case came forward that makes it appear that these are not available. And in fact, it's the way the information was gotten. And this is back to the circumvention. You have to outlaw that the government can go look for third-party pieces of information. You have to outlaw that this kit is not to be done. If that's important in a state that you live in, and it ought to be, your privacy ought to be important. This unwarranted surveillance needs to be stopped. Again, the Fed's not stopping it. When the federal courts came out and said they're not going to use the Fourth Amendment prohibitions against this to stop it, the states have to step up. And then, I don't know how you're going to avoid that every crime in the federal side is commerce. That's another problem. Maybe identify that it's just in commerce, and so if you don't have the commerce element, it's not applicable. That'd be a good way to do it, as I think on my feet. Actually, I'm not standing. And so this surveillance, the United States and the Fourth Amendment, I don't need to be identifiable. And why, so it takes a lot to be anonymous, if you will. You can't just hand it over to everybody. You see the privacy concerns. You see they're stoppable. You see that it's a big deal for people. And yet, we go into this next story, the trouble for workers who turn cameras off. They're taking a naked inference from you not seeing yourself on your Zoom meetings. If you didn't understand the importance of all this, and why they want you to do it that way, and what they can do, and the decisions they make, and you are subject to the employer on that. The system imposes that you are going to be seen. all the time. No escape. Stunning stat, 92% of the executives of medium and large firms think workers who turn off cameras during meetings don't have a long-term futures, the long-term futures at the company, according to a new survey of Vopta, a software company. Why it matters. The data adds grist to the worry that hybrid and remote employees have expressed about the post-pandemic world, that those who chose to work from home, some most of all of the time, will be out of sight, out of mind for the bosses. Well, that statement is not really the point. They're claiming that if you turn it off, then you, first of all, it's a cultural thing that I want to see you all the time because you're far away. This is that mindset that says, if I don't see you, then you're not relevant. I need to see you because I need to track what's going on. This is a building in of the culture that the companies adopted in COVID. Even referenced the COVID here in the statements. Post-COVID? There is no post-COVID. It's ongoing, fraudulent, endless disease. It's just the same plan, just changing names. So we can talk about the symptom, COVID-19, but we can talk about the cause, which is fraud. That's not changing, folks. And everybody's buying into this. Well, it gives me entitlement. So my mind is fraud is always actionable. So I don't know how do you get post that? There you go, Rob. Rob works in the RLM chat, post fraud. As I say that, I don't talk too much about the chat. I got to kind of not pay attention. It's right next to one of my monitors, so when I look up, I get to see it, and that's what popped up. But some people get in the chat, and the chat's kind of interesting. Barman is a bot. Barman has all kinds of tools that you can ask Barman to do. I'm not real good at it. I don't do much of it. I don't think I've ever done it. Well, no, I do talk to Barman. I thank Barman, and Barman responds. But some people get in the chat room, and they have a word that I use. They put it in the chat room, and Barman will give you at least one definition from a definition set. So the RLM chat, which I don't talk too much about, and I try to ignore a bit because it's confusing for me, is sitting there as a gathering place. You can talk amongst yourself, and you can also get Barman to help you out, at least on the surface. Some of the things need more research sometimes, but it's a little bit of a tool. It's a help. Barman is, and thank you to Grimner for making Barman to help us do that. Getting back over to here, post-fraud. How do you get post-fraud? And this is the whole point. Identify it. You don't prove the fraud. You get them to prove it's not a fraud. That's why we go non-demonstrable. The non-fraudulent exigency. Non-fraudulent exigency. We don't try to prove it's a fraud. We get the person promoting the fraud to prove it's not. You just call it the fraud and it violates, irreparably harms you. And so this whole thing's, how do you get post-fraud? I mean, it just doesn't, but this is what they're using. This is what I told you. The fraud has been monetized. Fraud has been given license to criminals. Fraud has been given license to people to be criminal. It becomes a culture in and of itself. The employees who turn their, it's so ingrained that you will be seen and be trackable. The employees are perceived as less engaged with their work overall. But one of my main problems with this is, why are you even involved with that? It's a fraud what they've done. There's no COVID-19. If you want to work at home, that's one thing. But based on COVID-19, you messed up your record. You didn't work it right. For those that can, I think working at home is great. I think it's, how much more efficient, carbon neutral can you get? How much more efficient, economic can you get? I think that's great. But when they start putting in positions that have no correlation, and you start to work, there's a mentality about that. Now, this is people got to talk. You can work that out. But it seems that there's been given great license to people to continue to perpetrate impositions underneath the color of a fraud, which I think is not healthy. I don't see how it can be healthy. Now, with all this wanting to be in the camera, all the video running, everybody wants to be tracked and traced, you can't run from the law. The Supreme Court's going to give the government access because they're just so sovereign. Not a limitation one here whatsoever, apparently. I'll bring up an old story. which I've been trying to get to for month and month and months. But I think it fits here again how, and to remind you, the ongoing undeveloped thing that's still running and functioning on the system, how it is when you have to be on a camera and the government wants the cameras always on, how Jean-Luc Brunel, who was held on suspicion of supplying girls to Epstein, was found hanged, and a disgraced Epstein pimp was in a single cell and no cameras recorded his suicide. How is it that those are congruent thoughts? Now, on the one hand, your employers and the government you can't escape the camera, and yet someone who was sitting inside who did crime in a controlled environment, in one of those cells, there was no camera to record his image. And somehow, that's okay. It is not a congruent concept for me, and I think the people, maybe we have a problem in the government. Maybe, just, there's a clue that maybe we've got some problem going on in the government that we can't continue to be quiet on. Another one, folks, the modus operandi? How many times are we going to go through this? But at any rate, I found this really fascinating. For all that the government, the employers, and everybody wants to get you on camera, there wasn't one running when Jean-Luc hanged himself, so-called, presumptively. Continuing on with this nonsense with this digital world and how the system continues to manipulate it, but if you look inside some of these things, you can see potentials. Again, you probably require legislation to work it through. And this is another one of those stories. The Supreme Court just held the U.S.-EU Privacy Shield Agreement. It just made the U.S.-EU Privacy Shield Agreement even harder. The United States Supreme Court decision this month of the FBI Fazaga and a case challenging FBI surveillance will make it significantly harder for people to pursue surveillance cases and for the United States and European negotiators to secure a lasting agreement for transatlantic transfers of private data. The justices gave the United States government more latitude to invoke state secrets in spying cases, but ironically, the victory undercuts the Biden administration's efforts to show that the United States has a sufficiently strong privacy protection to sustain the new Privacy Shield Agreement unless Congress steps in now. And this is where, again, the legislatures, the lawmakers, you see that even though that it sounds bad, that actually undercuts the government, and there has to be a standard. And this is why this case, again, is us stepping up as the people to say we need standards here. We can't go off on these tangents of warm and fuzzy delegated authorities that have no basis in law. You can't hand this stuff to third parties, notwithstanding the so-called efficiency garnered, the economy made for public-private partnerships. There's just some things that are just too confidential and too much the subject of holding, keeping the organic establishment. We're going to have that voice in us and step forward with people that are going to help us. This is an interesting story, how it kind of backfired on the system, but it was saying here, there's another story that says the laws have to be made in order to constrain this, because in the absence of that constraint, the adjective law, the foreign imposition wins because it can't be controlled. It's not you to be controlled, it's them to be controlled. And so in a way, it sounds like I'm advocating for new laws, but what I'm saying is that without those now, see, we went way past the time when we could go with minimal laws. Now they've done an end around. We have to now stop them. We have to plug all the holes. Or you find out things like somebody who was suspected in a jail cell, suspected of doing dastardly deeds, we don't get a video on. But for you turn around and get some peanuts and water during a business meeting, all of a sudden you turn your camera off and you're a heinous criminal that can't be supporting the company's store or whatever. So Supreme Court decision here, very interesting. To me, it spoke to Congress has to act. In other words, there has to be a standard. And the Supreme Court said, well, there's no standard. You're not going to get an agreement. And that made lots of sense to me. What didn't make sense to me is at the same time the Biden administration sort of loses on that. He comes in to try and show, again, don't take responsibility. In a Telegram site I found with a video with this, the phrase being stated, it's all Putin, all because of Putin. Putin noted the fuel and food prices rose in the United States in March, and he explained who was to blame. Again, this administration, and it's not just him, it's the whole federal organization is this way, and apparently states too. And I would have to say that since our lawsuit in 2013. It's all because of Putin. We're going to focus on Putin. Well, it's not going to be all, it's not all that. We all know that, but this is what the Democratic Party does while they also allow Pfizer and Moderna to be involved in the U.S. biological activities in Ukraine, for which the U.S., the Russian military has been complaining of the entire time, which they're partly part of the reason they're there to protect themselves. That it's the administration, it's Biden's administration continuing that invests $7.5 billion in a gas pipeline, or a carbon sequester system, capture system that's fraud, that takes the property, that takes your food production. That's Putin's fault now, I guess. Why are we putting up with this nonsense? Why do I hear so many people rallying about the United States against Russia? That's over there anyway. Why are we doing this to attack us when Russia is the problem and it's on us to stop it? Biden's disinfo board paused as a scary Poppins resigns. Biden's disinfo board paused. Again, false starts, wrong direction. Here, the opening statement, the great irony here is that the board was designed to protect against the very thing the board is accused of engaging in, a DHS official told reporters during a Wesney call. Stop making sense for you folks? This is exactly the point about the future they want. This is to bring on the cancel culture in order to shut you up. You'll be deemed mentally incapacitated by this. And all of a sudden, enough scrutiny has come onto it that the one who is supposed to be the leader of it, 33-year-old, remember, was supposed to be the guiding light, is found to be doing the very thing that she was apparently put in place to obstruct. And I just want to touch on something where Putin is doing everything and Biden takes no responsibility, and yet we have a resignation in this Ministry of Truth. I want to give you a Telegram link to the people. You want to see the people in Russia and this St. George's ribbon and what they just went through in the Victory Day. If you think, and you look around, and I want you to do some tracking down for yourself about what this issue means to the Russian people and their history, what I was telling you before. If you want to understand what these people are about, look at how much reverence they put on a symbol that actually ties to their past, and you'll exactly see what I was telling you right into the week after they started in Ukraine. Well, if you think you're going to defeat these people that have this reverence for their past, you're deluded. As we hear, the Russian ambassador to the U.S. says NATO is not taking their threat of nuclear war seriously. This is, I told you, it's all almost old news. I've told you about these people, what they're doing, what they're about, and nothing in the West is going to stop this. And they are going to protect themselves. And if you don't think they're serious, start understanding what drives them. Hope something I said today reflects in your life and prepares you here, folks. And look forward. Start protecting yourself from things that look obvious and detrimental. And I'll be with you next week. Tech Diffs, or nature willing.
That's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
Up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son,
just opened a whole case of Wolfpass.